MZTV.
Well, welcome to the show, everyone. I'm so thankful for all of you. Thank you for your comments. Yesterday, as I disclosed my marriage to the beautiful and the wonderful and the loving Maria Panduro, appreciate that. It was such a great thing. It has been such a great thing for both of us. And we love each other, and it is a pure love. And we're, you know, we're both of that age where you just revel in the friendship and the camaraderie and just, you know, going through life together. And I've been alone before, and it just, it's no good, as I said. And so I really empathize with anyone who has loneliness issues, because I do. And men were made to be with women, and like God said, it's not good for the man to be alone. Thank you for all your comments. Very loving. You're very caring of me. I knew you'd be happy for me. I knew you would. You know, one of the worst things about divorce is you not only lose this significant person, but you lose an extended family. And that has just devastated me more than once. And my wife's family is so extensive. I mean, it is a joy to see all these people, even though I can't understand any of them. I love them, and they love me. And I have learned a smattering of Spanish, just, you know, to survive. But they are such wonderful people, and the Peruvian people in general are very caring, very family-oriented. In fact, when I first went to Lima, I noticed that there were a lot of older men, like, walking with teenage girls, hand-in-hand with teenage girls. And I mentioned to Maria, I said, boy, the men must like women young here. And she would say, no, that's his daughter. And it's very common in Peru, even in Lima, which is, again, the financial capital of the city, of the country, the heartbeat of the country, you see parents and their teenage kids walking hand in hand. Family is very important, and I think almost every Latin culture. And I love that. I just love that. I love the closeness of Maria's family, and I have an extended family again. And, you know, in some ways, it can't make up for the family that you lose, but it definitely helps. It fills that void. It fills that need in everyone for family. And this is what I love about the South American culture, the Latin culture, is family. And I want to say another thing about the Latin American culture. My impressions of Lima. And there's a reason I'm telling you this, which will become evident as this video progresses, as I give you the surgery update. Lima has such a, or all the Latin people, I found this when I lived for a year in Sao Paulo, Brazil as well. There is a service culture. The people there take service much more seriously, and they really want to help you. And the human element in many places in my country, in the United States, is gone or sorely lacking. You go to check out at the drugstore, and the person on the other side of the cash register, they mumble. You can barely hear them. They're hardly ever wearing a uniform. They're on the phone with their friends, or they're just totally distracted. They don't want to be there. In Peru, in Lima, even at the 7-Eleven type stores, they snap too, and they're all dressed in a uniform, and they have hats, and it's just the United States back in like 1959 or something. I mean, you can, this place where I used to stop and get a snack on my runs in Lima, they pump gas. You still get your gas pumped by a uniformed attendant. Now, there's still a cell phone culture in Peru, but it's not as crazy as it is here. And the drivers are just brilliant drivers. I mean, they are so aggressive, but it's done with care. They're very careful. Nobody's on their cell phone while driving. I can't say nobody, but it's almost unheard of in a city like Lima, which is the second largest city in the Western Hemisphere. Sao Paulo is first. Lima, Peru is second. Mexico City is third. Then New York City is fourth. Can you believe that? New York City is fourth. But I like the family togetherness and the service culture in Peru. And I love it. One of my favorite things is that they have not discovered the jet engine leaf blower yet. Here in Florida, these guys walk around with jet engines on their backs and leaf blowers, and they're, and sometimes there's a crew of five, and they're just, it's noise pollution. It's really unnerving. Just add it to the other evils of the eon. In Lima, Peru, shopkeepers come out with push brooms, and it is so clean. Because people, they love to clean. They love to keep things clean. And they do it in a simple way, and they're very focused. They're not on their cell phones. They're not on their cell phones. Anyway, I love the culture. I wish I could speak Spanish. See, I want to speak Spanish. I just don't want to learn Spanish. Because I would love to communicate with these people. Because I like them. They're terrific. Which is why, well, no, it's not the total reason. But let me start this way. I have been disappointed. I have been frustrated. I have not been served well by the American medical system here to deal with this problem of the cancer that is in my squamous cell carcinoma that has gone to the lymph node, okay? I mean, very treatable. It's not melanoma, thank God. It's carcinoma. Still, carrying this thing in your mouth is hard enough. For the last 2.5 months, I have not been able to get a surgeon here. The first couple months was my fault because I didn't know what this was, and I would try to do some homemade things to get rid of it. And when I finally realized what it was and I had to get on it, it's been 2 months. And I have been jockeyed around from one doctor to another, and mainly it's because of my insurance. I am in what's called a HMO, which many of you know. I'm just learning this stuff. This is my least favorite topic, as I have said. Everything has to be in the network, in the network. And the first place I went was to urgent care place. And the urgent care place, first place I went to, said, well, we can't service you here. Your insurance doesn't cover it. So I had to find another one. Each time I got redirected, it meant another week in some cases. And then I found out that when I got to an ear, nose, and throat, when I got an ENT, an ear, nose, and throat doctor appointment, I found out the day before the appointment that this was 2 months ago when this problem should have been taken care of. I found out that, you can't be referred to us by an urgent care operation. You have to be referred to us by your primary care physician, of which I had not one of those. I did not have a primary care physician. I kept getting emails saying that my primary care physician changed. Like there was three different doctors. So I finally went to the right one and got to another place, an ENT guy who actually looked at this and said, oh, my buddy's the best surgeon. He'll take care of you. Give him a call. I give him a call, and he's on vacation for the rest of July. Talked to another guy at the place, and the status right now in the U.S. is he can't see me. I can't even get an appointment until June 30th. To get an appointment with a surgeon to discuss the operation. Not an operation date, not a surgery date, no. To talk to the surgeon. And the original place, remember I went to Ohio? I made those awful videos from Canton, Ohio, when I learned what this thing was, the pathology report, the shock of hearing what it was. And the doctor recommended a place in Weston, Florida, a branch of the Cleveland Clinic. And I found out I couldn't get in there like till July 19th. July 19th. And again, once I got close to pay dirt, to finding a place to do this, I either found out that it wasn't in my network, or they weren't available, or I had the wrong doctor, my status quo doctor, whatever you call that person. I hate the terminology here. Glad I can't think of it. So it has been frustrating, but I must admit, I mean, it's not all their fault, because in between the times when I got shut down, I would think, okay, this is a sign from God. Either the snatching away is going to happen. I'm thinking, give it the snatching away another day, another 2.5 minutes. Yeah. And I would try to do other things. I would read up, study on it, try to do natural things that would help. And so every time, again, I was stymied. Maybe I thought, well, I won't rush back into finding something else. Maybe this is a sign from God. And I still think it was. It was all a sign from God that led me to this, led me to this. Now, I crossed the line, ladies and gentlemen. I crossed a line about 2 weeks ago. I crossed a line from wanting to delay, not wanting to get this taken care of right away, procrastinating, giving more time for the snatching away, giving more time for my whatever remedy I was using that week to take effect. But then the line I crossed was I started, and Maria at the same time felt this same thing. We felt this sudden panic, like, oh my God, this has already been almost 5 months. And I noticed it was changing in my mouth here, changing. That was panic inducing. I would not be able to get back to sleep at night. Folks, I know you know all about this. Many of you have been through so worse medical nightmares than what I'm describing. But I can only describe my experience. I'm new to this. This is something God needed me to taste to prepare me for my coming role among the celestials. So I noticed a change in that, really. I just, in my mind then, I pictured it spreading. It's going all over my body. I can't remember if I told you the results of the CT scan. And again, I'm not going to spend 3 shows talking about this. I'm not going to spend 2 shows talking about this. This is it. I think I told you they did the CT scan. Yeah, I think I said it wasn't that bad. I don't know if I told you the results, but I mean, everything was fine. There's no cancer anywhere else except where we know it was. That was good. No brain cancer, no brain tumor. I'm not going to die in 2.5 weeks, anything like that. Okay, I might have already told you that. In case I haven't, there it is. So I started talking to Maria, the Queen of Peru, and she had mentioned knowing a doctor in Lima. And I said, look into it, please, please look into it. So this was just 1.5 weeks ago. And she talked to her best friend in Lima, whose friend's husband had a doctor who had just had almost exactly what I have. This squamous cell carcinoma in the mouth with accompanying lymph node swelling and everything. And this doctor did a fantastic job. And apparently this doctor is fairly well known in Lima. He's good at what he does. And I said, find out. Please, could you contact your friend and get this guy's number? Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly what happened. My wife called and got a hold of this doctor, talking to him on the phone. And he said, please send me the pathology report, the CT scan results, and take some photos of it, of your husband's. Did all that, sent it to him. Doctor got back right away. Service culture. Oh, by the way, before I tell you what happened next, when I was in Lima with my wife, going with her to some standard doctor's appointment she went to, the doctor would sit down with you at a desk and talk to you. I mean, this is unheard of in the clipboard world of American medical care. I worked at a hospital for 2.5 years back in the early 80s. And when my dad was in the hospital, I watched them working again. And it's the same thing. The doctor walks in just very quick, very, very brusque. That has the clipboard. How you doing today? Okay, see you tomorrow. And he walks out. Not in Peru. Oh, it's true that the Peru as a country is a third world country because there are parts of Peru that are very, very primitive. But Lima is a first world city. So Maria, this doctor called my wife back and said, I can do the surgery on the 9th. And we're like, it's June 9th? I guess, yeah. And when I heard somebody give a date, when I heard that there was going to be a square on the calendar at which time this would be gone, I said, let's do it. And she said, like, maybe we should check with a surgeon here, get a second opinion. I said, yeah, probably so. We should talk to another surgeon here. So it's not like, I don't want anybody to think that my Peruvian wife said, we got to go to Lima. No, I was really interested in this because of the reasons I told you about the culture. And because here's a doctor that her best friend knew and had just done this. But this guy said, I can do it on June 9th. And he starts telling her about the procedure. Oh, yeah, it's going to, I'm going to take the bad skin off. And then there's another surgeon that's going to be working with me. And then he's going to apply a patch of restorative skin or whatever on the area. And we're going to have to be very careful. It's a 3 to 4 hour surgery. It's very delicate. We have to get in there and get it off the lymph node and all this. And then there's going to be a drainage tube attached to the lymph node for about 3 days. Such as stitches are going to come out after 4 days. The doctor's explaining step by step the procedure over the phone. To me, this was amazing. And Maria, of course, sent him the results of the CT scan. And she asked him, does my husband need a PET scan? And do you remember what I said about that? I said that, okay, I can understand the CT scan because it's in the area, the neck and the head and the throat where my problem is. But I'm not getting a PET scan. That's a fishing expedition. That's a scan of the whole body. They're just trying to find something else. And another friend of mine pointed out to me, he said, yeah, and they're also covering their asses insurance-wise. Or no, lawsuit-wise. Yeah, lawsuit-wise. Like, why didn't you find this cancer in the rest of the body? So they do that to cover their asses legally. There's the word I'm looking for. So Maria asked this doctor, does he need the PET scan? Doctor said, I don't need a PET scan. I just need a scan that deals with the area I'm going to be working on. That's my man right there. There's my guy. Of course, one of the major drawbacks is that my insurance will not cover it. Now, I haven't had much experience with my insurance. I don't know. I mean, I think it's good insurance. It's Medicare with a couple of the additions on there that this agent talked me into. It sounds pretty good. I haven't really put it to the test yet. It could be. I doubt it, though, but I am going to look into it, that maybe my insurance will cover some of it, but it's doubtful. I am going to find out, though. But so Maria asked this guy, how much is this going to cost? And again, do you ever get this information over the phone from a doctor? But again, this is referred to by a friend. So there's a connection with this doctor, see? So he's very forthcoming, very honest, I'm assuming. And he says, well, my fee for this would be 20,000 soles. Now the sol, S-O-L-E, is the coin of the realm in Peru. 20,000 soles is $5,500. $5,500. And he said, now with the anesthetist and the clinic where we're going to be at, add another $1,000 US, and it comes up to like $6,500, something around there. Maybe seven at the most. And I said, well, what should we do? I'm talking to my wife. I said, and she said, we can't. And of course, my insurance would probably cover most of this here, but I can't even see someone until June 30th. And I'm getting worried. I'm losing sleep over this. It's gone too long. It's changing. Last night, I woke up at 4. I could not get back to sleep because I kept feeling my lymph nodes are bigger. I think it's bigger. It hurts on the edges here. What's that? So I'm starting to lose it. Starting to lose it. Try to keep my mind in control. Try to say God's in control. I know God's in control and everything. But then, you know, it's going through my mind. You got to get this taken care of. And do you know how I've often said that there's a scripture verse that says, let the peace of God be arbitrating in your hearts. Let the peace of God be arbitrating in your hearts. And when I heard this doctor, and when Maria was telling me about this guy, and he's saying, he's going to be in good hands, don't worry, I've done this many, 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 many times. I just did it on your friend's friend, and just total assurance, total in control, total service to the need, total date when I'm going to do it. All the opposite of what I got here in my home country. I felt the peace of God, and God said, that's it. God said that. God said, this is it. This is the one I want to do. Why? I don't know. God could have picked anybody here in this country. I don't know. Am I going to give this guy a book? He's going to be the last member of the body of Christ. Who knows? But I'm going to Lima. My wife and I are going to Lima Friday. Yes, that's right. I'm recording this Tuesday evening. It's Wednesday. As you're watching this in 2 days, I'll be flying with Maria to Lima. The surgery was put off until the 11th because he wants to do a stress test on Monday the 9th and take some more blood work. By the way, I had my blood work done here by my primary physician. That's the fancy term I was looking for earlier. And my blood work's great. And like I said, I've been running 8 miles a day. So, see, I feel confident that it's still a localized thing. And that CT scan showed none of the crap anywhere else. So, surgery will be Thursday the 11th. Wednesday the 11th. Last night, I freaked out because this thing really changed. Like, there's an eruption or something in the middle, and it's really burning. I had to call my primary physician to get some pain med because it's really starting to bother me. And I told Maria today, I said, I wish this surgery was today, at least tomorrow. I just want to get this over with. I want to get this over with. And folks, this is going to be over with, and I'm going to be healed and back home before I could even have a meeting with a surgeon here in this country. I don't know why. It sounds crazy. Because people all over the world want to come to the U.S. for superior medical care. And here's me leaving the U.S. for medical care in a third world country. And yet I feel so at peace about it. So at peace about it. So he said, we're going to put a drainage tube on the lymph thing. The way the guy was talking, my wife shared this with me because they talk Espanol with each other. And there's another thing I'm happy about. I get this stuff secondhand. I don't know, the doctor might speak English too, but I love getting this secondhand from my wife. Like, I don't hear it directly from the doctor. That's good for me. I like it secondhand from my wife. She can, you know, just airbrush it a little bit. So the doctor said, yeah, we're going to have to put a drainage thing here. Is there going to be some stitches? Going to put the restorative tissue on skin. I don't know what on here. And we have to remove the stitches after 4 days. Drainage tube comes out around the same time. He said, you can go home 10 days post-op. You're going to be in a hospital 2 nights. The night before the surgery, one more night, and then get the hell out of here. And we're going to be staying at her mom's house. And her mom has a housekeeper. But everybody in Peru has a housekeeper. It's very inexpensive, folks. The expenses in Lima are a third of what they are here. Everything. It's wildly inexpensive. It's terrific. So it's hard to find a house that doesn't have a housekeeper. So I'll have a housekeeper taking care of me. And my wife, my mother-in-law, not so much because she has to be taken care of. She has, unfortunately, some Alzheimer's issues. Yeah. Degenerative situation there. Very sad. Lovely lady. My mother-in-law. Love her. She needs constant care at the house. So she has a nurse on board 24 hours a day. Because she fell two Christmases ago and we almost lost her, but we didn't. And she's doing fine. So I'm going to be in this loving atmosphere. So, you know, if anyone wants to help with the medical expenses, they look to be fairly minimal, but there's nothing minimal about any kind of outlay. I mean, if you ask me, but if you want to help, you can. I'll put a link down here. It's just my usual link for people want to help me to continue the work. And if you want to just earmark this and just say, this is for Martin's medical expenses, I would always, and I always do appreciate the help. As I've always said, and this applies now, I never require anything. I never say, you owe me this. It's just absurd. Everything that's done here is done with a freeness and an openness of heart. And so if you want to help, I won't turn it down, I promise. But if you can't and you just want to say, Martin, we wish you the best. We're praying for you. Thank you. That goes a long way too. And God is going to make it work out no matter what. I trust God. I think I'm going to stop now. I've been doing this work full time for 32 years now. It'll be the end of 32 years on October 1st, the beginning of 33 years. And God has been faithful. God has been faithful and he's proven himself faithful. And he uses the body of Christ. To me, it's a miracle every month. A miracle every month that I never take for granted. So, thank you. Just like I was telling you yesterday about my marriage, it's a God thing. Me going to Peru is a God thing. Me marrying a Peruvian woman is a God thing. If anybody wants to translate my books into Spanish, there are people who are interested in what I have to say down there. And it is a country rife with, infected with Catholicism. Now that I've told you, you know, that I have an extended family in Peru, Maria's son is there, her mother is there, one of her brothers is there. Many aunts and uncles are there, hundreds and thousands of aunts and uncles. I can now tell you about how wonderful I think the culture is and about how I enjoy being there with my extended family. So I am going to keep the show going. That is my intention. My intention is to write down ahead of time like maybe 10 very simple topics. And even though I'm going to be, you know, laid up for a little bit, I want to keep the show going live. Like I don't have what it takes right now because I'm in such pain yesterday and pain today. I had to get a pain med, like I said. I'm not going to be able to make shows ahead of time. So I'm going to have to make shows on the go as the days come. Sometimes if I know I'm going to be traveling, I can make 3 or 4 shows ahead of time. But I'm not going to be able to do that because I'm not up to it. I don't have what it takes right now. So I'm going to make shows as I go. And I'm going to try. I am going to try my damnedest to get a show to you every day, no matter what condition I'm in. Okay, so having said that, there's a chance that I won't be able to do it maybe for a day or two as I recover, in which case my sister Kelly will send you out a classic from the archives. But that's the medical update. Thank you for your care, concern, and your love, which is never flagging. I love all of you. I wouldn't be here doing any of this without you. Sure wouldn't have been broadcasting and writing for 32 years without your help. The body of Christ is a family closer than blood. We look out for each other. And I thank God every day for you.